And one amazing testimony of what God is doing in the hearts of his people and a thrill is that we're part of a church that is not just missions minded. We don't just have a missions program, but it's a heartbeat. It's a focus. There's an emphasis here on reaching the world for Jesus Christ. We want to see lost people all around the world come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why our mission is that we would reach those nearest, our family and our closest friends. And then we would reach our neighbors, those that we come into contact with, those that we might bump into at the bank or at the gas station or the grocery store. But then we also have a vision to reach the uttermost, to reach all nations. We want to reach them all. And how do we do that? We send people like this family here that have surrendered to go to the country of Brazil. And the church this year, in an amazing testament of their vision to accomplish that, has committed $94,000. It's gone up $4,000 since the last time I told you guys. We were at 90. I was going to give like 70 bucks to take us right to 90,000. You remember that? Now we're at 94,000. Committed to reach the world over the next year. That's the vision of the church. And I'm excited that we have a church that wants to do that. Look in John chapter 4, verse number 35. In John chapter 4, verse number 35. You see, we've just finished up. We're breaking into a new month here. We've got all of June, and then July, and then August, and then September. 4 months. And then for us, it's harvest time. Look what he says here in John 4, verse number 35. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest." Say not ye that there's 4 months to harvest. Look on the fields, for they're white, they're ready to harvest, they're ripe, ready for harvest. This morning, I want to preach to you a message entitled Harvest Time. It's harvest time. And as we have a missionary here with us throughout the day today, and as a church we've committed to give, I want to encourage you and challenge you to continue to do that which you've committed as a church to accomplish over the next year for missions. But beyond that, I want to stir our hearts for this fact that it's harvest time. You see, when we're dealing with or talking about harvest time, the idea concerning harvest is that there is a time in which to get the harvest in. There is a window, there is an opportunity in which the harvest must be gathered. And if you miss that window, the harvest is lost. Now, I remember my dad pastoring out there in New York, and he was in upstate New York and beautiful area, but kind of in a real small town. I mean, Lyons, if you blink, you just passed it, you know. It's a small place, and you drive up to the church there, and he has a neighbor that a friend of his, farms close to 3,000 acres. And one day he's out there in the field, and my dad was talking about how, man, you should see that combine he has. It's unbelievable. It's computerized and everything. And I said, I'd love to see it. He says, okay. So he drove out across the field and waved the farmer down. And the farmer let me climb up inside the combine and ride with him. So we're riding through the fields, and he's harvesting, I mean, this huge, massive, whatever it's called on the front of the combine. I don't know all this stuff. But he's picking up all of this. I don't even know what we were cutting, but he was showing me how the computer on the combine there, it calculates the yield for every acre. It shows exactly what I think it was beans we were getting in. And he says it shows us exactly every acre is plotted, all the acres. And it shows every acre exactly the yield that got. And then that tells him if he needs to put more fertilizer on this acre and less on that acre. Or if this acre got too much moisture and that acre got not enough moisture. Everything is computerized. And it shows him all this stuff. It's amazing what he could do. And we're sitting there harvesting. And he's got 3,000 acres to do. And they're out there from sunup till sundown. I said, well, what happens You know, I mean, how much time do you have? He says, from the time that it's ripe, we've got till the first snow flies. He says, if snow falls on it and sets on it, it's gone. It's ruined. So we've got between now and when the first snow flies. In upstate New York, you never know when the first snow is going to fly. I mean, it could come early. They could get some lake effect snow up there off of the Finger Lakes, and all of a sudden, everything else was for naught. All the work and all the effort and all the planting and all the fertilizing and all the computerized tracking of everything was wasted, was lost, because the window of opportunity to gather the harvest was lost. It was missed. This window of opportunity that we have as Christians to get in the harvest. You see, today we are living in the day of grace. I don't have time this morning to teach on the dispensations. Dispensation is just a big theological word which means amount of time. We have lived through five dispensations, five areas or amounts of time that can be clearly seen. In the beginning, you have the dispensation of innocence. In the very beginning, in the Adam and Eve, they were innocent. They didn't know the difference between good and evil because they only knew God. And we've lived through five dispensations, five segments of time. We are currently today living in the dispensation of grace. The time, the window, the area of grace. Now, next thing on God's calendar is a millennial kingdom. That'll be the seventh dispensation. But we are right now living in the sixth, the day of grace, the age of grace, the time of harvest. In this age of grace, we don't know how much time we have before the snow is going to fly. We don't know how much time we have. The Bible says, man knoweth not the day or the hour. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back or when a person's going to take his last breath. We don't know. So we've got a window, an opportunity here that we've got to bring in the harvest. In Ezra chapter 9, verse number 8, this is an amazing verse. Don't have to turn there. We're going to look at a bunch of different scriptures, but it's an amazing verse. He's talking there. He says, and now for a little space of grace hath been showed us from the Lord. A little space of grace. God has given us a space of grace, a time of grace that's been showed unto us from the Lord. You know, it's amazing that in the Old Testament, we talk about typology, and we taught on that on Thursday night in our Old Testament class, which is over, but we taught on that, typology, and there's a type that's seen in Noah. When he, for 120 years, built the ark, Noah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah obeyed God, and he built an ark in preparation for a flood. You guys remember that story? So for 120 years, he preached unto the people the truth that the flood was going to come. Now, we know from the story, we're looking back, the people didn't want to believe it. But that didn't change the fact that the flood came, right? They chose in their mind's eye to say, well, I don't understand that. Rain has never fallen from the sky before. Noah, you are cuckoo in your head. You don't know what you're talking about. They laughed at him. They mocked him and made fun of him, but he gave them the truth. And he said, you got to get into the ark. And he told them to get in. And then when God told all the ark was done, and then God called all the animals, and the animals came and filled in the ark. This really happened. It's not just a fairy tale. It's the truth of the Word of God. Not just a children's story. The animals came into the ark, and then God told Noah and his family to get in the ark. And the Bible says that God didn't close the door for 7 days. For seven more days, God held back the rain. Everything was ready, but God held back the rain for a space of grace. 7 more days for anybody else, anybody that was willing to heed the call. Come on, it's going to rain. You guys, come and get in the ark. And they maybe laughed. Look at Noah and his family. They're so goofy in that big old boat. What are they doing? There was over and over a plea and a cry to get into the ark because the snow or the rain is going to come. God gave them that space of grace, that window of opportunity to get saved by getting into the ark before it was too late. Christian, we don't know when our opportunity is going to be passed. You know what? If this is not the message this morning, the message this morning really is to Christians about the harvest. But let me just tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are right now living in grace. God is extending an opportunity for you to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And you don't know when you'll breathe your last breath. You don't know if today on the way home somebody's going to plow through a stop sign that they should have stopped at and hit your car and you will pass off into eternity. You say, man, that preacher, he sounds kind of goofy or he's a little far-fetched. I want to tell you, I'm preaching to you the Word of God. You've got to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before it's eternally too late. And here's what I know. I know that you may in your mind be mocking. You may in your mind be laughing. You may say, oh, he's a little bit crazy. But here what I know. I know the Holy Spirit is poking your heart right now and saying what he is telling you is the truth. Because the Bible says the Spirit beareth witness. And here's what I'm telling you, before it's eternally too late, Jesus Christ has extended an opportunity for you to trust him as your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of all your sin and to take you to heaven when you die. Don't wait until it's eternally too late. God wants everyone to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, this idea that God is this mean-spirited, angry God that's going to judge sin and he's waiting on the edge of heaven just to knock you down at the first chance, that's a lie of the devil. Now, God is not going to turn the other way at your sin. And he's not going to let you continue to slap him in the face and let you get away with it. But God is so long-suffering and so gracious that he has extended an opportunity to you over and over and over again to trust him. But you see, when it starts raining, the storm has come, it's too late. And after you die, it's too late. And we preach the truth that if you die without Jesus Christ, you spend an eternity in a place called hell. And people look at that and they say, man, that is so mean. God is so way. If God would do that to anybody, I don't even want any part of a God like that. But that is not the message. The message is that God loves you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave you an opportunity to be saved. He's extended his love to you, and that while you are yet sinners, you might even be right now slapping God in the face with your life, and he's saying, I love you. Will you please trust my Son? And you slap him again. And he says, I love you. Will you please trust my Son before it's too late? But you pass off into eternity and it is too late. And you will spend an eternity in a place called hell, not by design, but because you rejected his Son. That's the truth of it. And as Christians, we have right now the opportunity to bring in the harvest. He wants all men to know him. He wants everyone in the ark. But those that reject, during this space of grace, will be destined to spend an eternity in a place called hell. I want to show you three passages of Scripture that the Word of God talks about the harvest. And I want to talk to you Christians for a couple of minutes about our job in bringing in the harvest. Turn to Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to be back to John here, but we're going to go to Matthew and work our way through the Gospels here and see three messages concerning the harvest time. Matthew chapter 9, familiar verses, verse number 35, 36, 37, 38. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, Matthew 9, 35. He says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel among the kingdom and healing the sick and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. First of all, I want you to see that the harvest is plenteous. I believe in the context of this passage of Scripture, what he's talking about is people here. He says he went among the people and he saw the multitudes of people and he was moved with compassion. The harvest is plenteous. You know, there's a lot of people in the world. It's mind-boggling. There's over 7 billion right now, 7.6 billion people in the world. The harvest is plenteous. There is a lot of people out there. I mean, it's just, our minds can't even really comprehend how many people that is. God is concerned about people. There's 324.4 million people in America. Just in America alone, 324.4 million people. Do you have those country cards I asked you for? Can you go get them for me? I'll need them in a couple minutes. You got a minute. The idea is that God loves people. He loves you. God loves you this morning. Now, God's not going to put up with foolishness, but he loves you. And he wants you to be saved. God is concerned about all people. You know the old children's song, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. God is concerned about all people. I want you to understand this morning that there is no room for prejudice of any kind in God's family. God created all people and he created them all equal. There is only one race, the human race. God loves every man, woman, boy, and girl. There is no room for prejudice, whether your prejudice is against another race or nationality, or your prejudice is against another person's culture, or your prejudice is against somebody's, your status is above them or below them. I want you to know that we're all equal at the foot of the cross. God loves every single man, every single woman. Doesn't matter where they come from or what their background is or what they've done. God loves them. And as Christians, we've got to let go and get rid of any prejudice we have and be willing to kneel next to any man, woman, boy, or girl that was ready to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter who they are. God loves people and the harvest is plenteous. This world has more people in it than it ever has. The harvest is ready and it's ripe. We've got to see the harvest. We have the message of the gospel that will save people from a place called hell. We've got to get them the message before it's too late. You see, we don't know when the harvest time will be over. We don't know when the season's going to come. Say not there's 4 years, 4 months under harvest. We don't know when it's going to come. The harvest is plenteous. You know, the entirety of the Bible points to Jesus Christ. The Old Testament and all of the sacrificial systems and all that was there points to the fact that a Messiah would be coming, that Jesus was coming. And we get to the New Testament. And all of the New Testament points back to the fact that Jesus came. The sacrifice came. We need to get the message of the gospel to the world because God loves people. You might say, man, I don't have a personality like that. I you know, going out and talking to people or giving the gospel, that's not my personality. I want you to see what Jesus did and what affected him. Look back in Matthew 9, verse number 35. He says, and Jesus went. Jesus went. He says, in the villages, teaching the synagogues and preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick and every disease among the people. And then it says, but in verse number 36, but when he saw the multitudes. You might want to circle that word went and then circle the word saw. And then it says he was moved. He was moved. He went, he saw, and he was moved. When you go and see the need, when you go, you see, that's what God commanded us to do. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations. In Luke 14, 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. He said, go. As Christians, we've got the command to go. And you say, oh, that's not really my personality. That's not really what I'm good at, or that's not what I'm called to. No, but you've been commanded to go. And when you go, you'll see the need. You'll see the fields. You'll see the harvest that's plenteous. And you'll be moved. You'll be burdened to do something about it. You might not get on a platform and preach the Word of God. You might not be one that would stand on a corner and hold up your Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, return or repent. But everyone here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, has been commanded to go. And you can go a lot of ways. You can give a track. You can give somebody your testimony. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, all you have to do is say, hey, can I tell you what Jesus did for me? I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ forgave me of my sin. And they might say, well, what does that mean? You say, well, you know what? I'm not positive, but how many of you know somebody that could take a Bible and show them? You say, I'm not sure where to show them in the Bible. Do you know anybody that is? Somebody in our church back in February called me up in the middle of the day and says, Pastor, I was telling my neighbor about Jesus, and they want to get saved, but I wasn't quite sure, like, what to show them. Can you tell them? I said, I'll be glad to. Right there on the phone, Valerie trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I went the next week and sat down and followed up with her and showed her in the Bible exactly the decision that she made. And she was thrilled to have known Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of her sins. Everybody can go. Everybody has been given the command to go. You know, the Apostle Paul went to Corinth. You know that wicked city, Corinth? Corinth was so wicked that the prostitution ring was being run out of the synagogue, out of the church. That's how bad Corinth was. You say, man, we're living in a wicked day. You know what? I want you to see this. Turn to the book of Acts. Turn to Acts. Chapter 18. You see, Paul was ready to go, and God said, no, Paul, I'm going to keep you here in Corinth. I'm going to keep you here, and he kept him there in Corinth for a year and a half. Why did he keep him in Corinth for a year and a half? He didn't keep him in Corinth for a year and a half because the architecture was magnificent. He didn't keep him in Corinth for a year and a half because there was status there and the influence that they could have around the world. He didn't keep him for a year and a half in Corinth because he thought it would be good for Paul's ministry. Look at why he was kept for a year and a half. Chapter 18 and verse number 10. He says, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. I believe it's the following verse that he tells him he's going to be there for 18 months. But he says, why? Why did God say you're going to stay here in Corinth, Paul? Because I have much people in this city. You know what? There's a lot of people in Baltimore. And we go out and we go door knocking, and there may be some people that they might slam the door in our face. There may be some people that mock and they laugh and they turn away and they don't want to hear it. And there may be some people that deny the track and say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. And we get discouraged as Christians, but hey, the harvest is coming and we don't know when it's going to be done. And we're commanded to go. And God says, out of the 620,000 people that are in Baltimore, he has got much people in this city. There is a lot of people that are a part of the harvest that you and I need to get to. God has many people in this city that want to know him. And we've got to get out there and give them the truth of the gospel. I'm going to move quick. I know it's 11:42. Now you know. I guarantee you we will be done before noon. Maybe much faster. But I think let's get these last two points, okay? All right. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. The book of Luke, chapter number 10. First of all, he tells us that the harvest is plenteous. That's talking about people. There are many, many people that need to know Jesus. Then I want you to see in context here, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entirety of this chapter, but I want to point out some things. Look in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 2, first of all. That's the heart of it, and then I'll just point some things out around it for you. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 2, he says, therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great. So we see here, secondly, that the harvest is great. What I believe that he's talking about here in context of this passage of Scripture is I believe he's talking about places. He's talking about places. Look with me, if you would, here in this passage of Scripture. He gives us many things here. And I'm looking for it, and I'm on the wrong chapter. That would be why I didn't see it. So he tells us here in verse number 3. I'm handicapped. You guys doing okay? I was looking in 2:10 instead of 10:2. I'm dyslexic. All right, now I'm looking at it. I'm like, I know that I underlined all this and have it marked in my Bible. It's here. Here it is. I'm in the right chapter. That helps. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse number 2, or verse number 1, he says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face unto every city and place. Now look down in verse number 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter. Look in verse number 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter, verse number 11. Even the very dust of your city, verse number 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. I believe in context, what we're talking about here is there's many places that need the gospel. The harvest is great. There's a lot of places around the world that need the truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there are 7 continents that need the truth. And I asked Miss Amy to get these cards for me. Last year, we gave away these, what we called country cards. We gave these away so that as a church, we might have a heart for other nations, other countries. This is the Republic of Zambia. There's a population of 13,257,000 in Zambia. This is the Republic of Suriname. This is 585,824. This is Mexico. In Mexico, there is the 14th largest country in Latin America. You moved it. There's a lot of people. Oh, there you are. In Mexico City, there's 20 million people in Mexico City. the Republic of Uzbekistan, Argentina, Russia, Albania, Laos, Mongolia, Madagascar, the Philippines, Taiwan, Papua New Guinea, Thailand, Sweden, Trinidad, Tobago, South Korea, Switzerland. This is just 1 year's worth. We're not scratching the world. This is not even beginning to list. You know, we live in a big world. I know it's small, and it's made small by the internet and how we can look at the news in Uzbekistan if we want to. But you understand, it's amazing to me when I go fly into some place and you fly into that city and you're landing there, you get to see the whole city as you're coming in. I love sitting in the window and looking out. But it's amazing. I see that city, that place, and I see all of those people who the entirety of their life is made up in that area. And that's a huge, massive city, and it's only one city amongst hundreds of cities that are in that state, among all the states that are among the United States. And we're only one country. Of all the countries of the world, what I'm saying is there, the harvest is great. There are many, many, many places around the world that need the gospel. And we can't go to them all. You and I, we've been given this city. But in order for us to go to the world, we got to find people like this that have lost their mind and are going to go to a foreign country in our place. You see, they're going for us because we've been commanded to go to Brazil. Anybody here planned a trip to Brazil? You going? Well, how are we going to get the gospel there? We send somebody. To the means and the ability that God has given us, we get behind and send missionaries to this harvest that is truly great. Let me give you the last one. Turn back to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. I'll try and get in the right chapter this time. In John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, we read this already, but he says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already to harvest. What I believe he's talking about here is position. There's these people, this great harvest is ready to be picked. It's primed. There's people that need and are ready. How many of you ever been door knocking and you knock on the door and you ask somebody, you say, hey, I'm so-and-so and I'm from Hunt Valley Baptist Church and I would like to ask you, have you ever been to church somewhere? And they say, oh, well, I go over here. You're like, okay, well, more important than going to church, can I tell you the most important thing you've ever done and the most important decision you can ever make is, do you know 100% sure that if you died today, would you go to heaven? And they say, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Can you know? And you say, yeah, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. Would you like to know? And they say, yeah. And you've had so many people turn you down and reject and slam the door on your face. You're like, really? you want to know? Oh, wait. Where's my Bible? here, let me show you. Hey, they were ready. They were ripe. We don't know who they are. We don't know who's ripe and who's ready and who God has got picked for the harvest for us. We just are commanded to go and let him do the picking for us. Let him show us who to get the message to. But they were ready. They were positioned in a place. Who knows what it is in their life? You know, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life. Sometimes we walk up to somebody and we look at them and we see the guy and he's there and he's got his, you know, leather jacket on, and, you know, he's pierced 10 ways from Monday, and he's got tattoos all over, and he's got a long ponytail, and he's smoking a cigar, and he got a beer in his hand, and we look at him and we say, oh, I think I'll find the next guy. I say, Brother John, you get this one. I'm going to go to the next door. any houses that have big dogs, I tell John, you get this one. He likes dogs, so it's good for him. What I'm saying is we make up our mind about them before we even get to talk to them, whether they're ripe or not. But we don't know what's been going on in their life. The fact is they may have just come from a funeral. And they might be thinking about eternity. And what happened to his brother, sister, or mother? We had a young man in our church who was in my college and career class. We went over to his home, gave him the gospel. I don't remember who in the church. I don't even remember if it was me or not. Remember John Matthews? Me and Brother Bartels went over. I think Brother Bartels is the one that actually dealt with him, but we led him to Jesus Christ. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. John Matthews, he was a college student at Kansas University. His father drove many hours to come to our church, came in and said, I've been praying for my son for years. He said, thank you for showing my son Jesus. You don't know who has a mom or a dad praying for them. You don't know who is ready, who is positioned ready for the harvest. We've just got to go and let God bring in the harvest. C.H. Spurgeon said, I would rather be the means of saving one soul from death than to be the greatest orator on all of the earth. The world famous violinist Fritz Kreisler, he earned a fortune with his, or could have earned a fortune with his concertos and his compositions. But he gave most of his fortune away. When he discovered an exquisite violin, one that he really wanted to own, he did not have the means to purchase it. After years of saving and saving the money to be able to purchase this violin, he returned to the seller. To his dismay, he found it had been sold to a collector and was hanging in this man's home. He made his way to this new home and offered to buy the violin, but the collector had become it had become one of his prized possessions, and he was not keen to sell it. Disappointed, he was turning to leave, and he said, could I play that instrument one time? Could I just play that magnificent violin one time? The owner said, sure, I would be glad to hear it played. With the permission being granted, he took the violin. And this great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were so deeply stirred. He said to him, sir, I have no right to keep that to myself. It is yours. Take it and share it with the world. You and I have been given the most beautiful message of love that the world has ever heard. And we have no right to keep it to ourselves, but have been commanded to take it and share it with the world. We've got a plenteous harvest. There are a lot of people. We've got a great harvest. There's a lot of places. And we've got a harvest that's ready, people that have been positioned to be captured by the saving love of Jesus Christ. Will you be part of the harvest? Let's stand together with our eyes closed and heads bowed, if you would. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a song of invitation. I want to ask you this morning, Christian, if you're here and you say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart about being involved in the harvest, would you pray for me? Would you show me by an uplifted hand, say, God spoke to me this morning. God challenged me. I want to be part of the harvest. all over the room. I want to be part of the harvest. I need to be going and doing what God wants me to do. Thank you. Many hands all over the room. Now, could I ask you this morning, we talked about being part of the harvest, the message to those who are already involved in this. But let me say this morning, if you're here and you say, Pastor Caleb, you talked about knowing God that way. You talked about him saving your soul. And I'm not sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. But I'm sure that I don't want to go to hell. If that's you this morning, would you show me by an uplifted hand and say, Pastor Caleb, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure that I don't want to go to hell. Would you show me by another? Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else here? You say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Pastor Caleb, I heard you talk about God's love. I want to know that love. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the time in your house. Lord, we pray that each and every Christian here, each and every person that knows they're on their way to heaven would be involved in the harvest and doing what God wants us to do in this area of reaching the world and getting the message out. Lord, we pray you'd be with the one this morning that raised their hand and said, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to allow somebody to take a Bible and show them how they can know you personally, how you sent your son to die for them so that they could go to heaven. Lord, I pray they wouldn't walk out of here without getting that settled. Give them the strength to do that, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.